I'm an addict. My name's Linda. And at first, I lied and told the person that I'm with, who's a friend and a sponsee, that if she was the only person in the room when it started, that I was going to have trouble speaking up here, so I'd have to move down there. And then, of course, people started coming in the room, and I started getting a little bit more nervous. I have spoke at workshops before. I still get nervous, and everyone asks me usually if I get nervous, and I do, and I do not understand how you don't get nervous coming up here. But if you're one of those people, don't take offense to that. Phyllis from Montgomery County, I believe, is the woman who asked me to share, and I don't know if she's in here. If you are, thank you. If you're not, thank you anyways. When she called me, probably about 4 weeks ago, it was 11 o'clock at night, and it was a work night, so I was pretty tired. And she started asking me a bunch of questions. And she started by asking what my clean date was. And I told her it was 11/29/1984. Then she asked me if I had a home group. And I said, yes, St. Pete's in Ellicott City, Wednesday night. She asked me these questions. I'm not sure what order they came in. Then she asked me if I'd heard of the Clarity Statement. Now, at this point, it's 11 o'clock at night. And obviously, I told you I have been clean since 1984. And I've heard of the Clarity Statement. And I said, yes, I have. And she said, do you believe in the Clarity Statement? And I said, yes, I do. At this point, I'm tired, and I was feeling a little irritated. Then she asked me how I introduced myself. And I said, I introduced myself as an addict only. That was about the gist of the questions. And then she said, we'd like you to share at the convention this year. She told me which, she first, I think it was the third step, actually, and I wasn't going to be here. Well, it doesn't really matter. I didn't think I was going to be here in time for one of the meetings. She said the 12th tradition. And I said, yes. And I said, yes, because my first sponsor told me not to say no, and I believe in carrying the message of Narcotics Anonymous. So I woke up the next morning, and I was processing the questions I had been asked. And I was processing that I felt a little defensive, that I was justifying my recovery and all that. And then, within a very short period of time, I understood why she asked me these questions. Absolutely. Why? And let me go back for a second. I think it's important because when I came into Narcotics Anonymous, it was in Frederick County, Maryland, and actually almost everywhere in this country, probably instead of, except for California, there were not a lot of NA meetings yet. So I went to the other fellowship because there was no other way for me to go to 1 to 2 to 3 meetings a day. It was impossible. I would drive to Washington, D.C., I would drive to Baltimore, I would go to whatever meetings I could find, but to go to a meeting a day, I had to go to the other fellowship. So it's really important. I share that when I was answering these questions, it's been a process of me coming to believe all those questions she asked me. I don't mean about the home group. I've always had a home group. But some of the other things because of that issue. Now, when she asked me to speak on the 12th tradition, I said yes right away because that's what I've been taught to do. A few days after that, I was like, oh, no. I just agreed to talk about the 12th tradition. I came into Narcotics Anonymous with less than 8th grade education. I failed the 8th grade in Montgomery County, and when I got to Frederick County, they put me in the 9th grade. I failed the 9th grade, yada yada, I ended up dropping out of school. So when I got to Narcotics Anonymous, and they gave me this book, which wasn't exactly this book, but 3rd edition, I could read okay, but not that great. And I did not comprehend a lot. This book was the first book that I read cover to cover when I first got clean. I've been a reader all my life, so I've read other books. The stories, I could relate to. But some of the other stuff was really difficult. Part of it because of my education, and part of it because I'm an addict. And it was really foreign to me. And their traditions were really foreign to me. Because I grew up in a family where there weren't a lot of traditions going on. My mom tried to make it seem like they were passing on morals and traditions, not like what I'm talking about here. But it was dysfunction. I grew up in an addicted family, and that's what I learned. We didn't process anything. My parents fought about money all the time. They were always trying to look like the Joneses family. You know, the property always had to look nice. All that had to look good. So I didn't know what anything like the traditions was about. And obviously, probably like everybody, I started working the steps first. Except in 1984, there were not a lot of NA meetings. And I helped start a lot of NA meetings. Therefore, I had a lot of service positions. I remember probably in the first year, I was treasurer for a group, secretary for a couple groups, and I had already went to my first GSR meeting, which was terrifying. I mean, area meeting, excuse me. It was terrifying. The table was on like a platform like this, and the chairs and tables were down there. And the people that were the area, you know, the treasurer and everybody, they sat up here, and I sat over there. And they started arguing. I mean, really arguing. They're like loud. And I'm sitting there, and at the time I had, I believe, 8 months clean. It was just before 9 months. And I was freaking out. I'm sweating. I'm like, what am I doing here? You know, and of course, I didn't even have to do all the GSR stuff. I could barely go up there and get all the, at that time, chips, because we didn't have keychains then, and get all the material and everything. And the next area meeting I went to, I had a car accident on 495. And although it probably wasn't a sign, in all honesty, I was not ready yet at 9 months clean to be involved in it. I was not. I didn't understand it. It terrified me. And truthfully, I didn't really want any part of it yet. So after that car accident, I didn't go back to area again. And I wouldn't go back to area again until I had about 4 years clean and Frederick became their own area. And then I, for a short period of time, was involved in that area. And since then, I have been involved in Arizona specifically. I was the activities chair for a couple years, and I've been GSR, obviously, many times. And that's how I learned about the traditions. I've actually had to learn about the traditions by going through issues with people in the program, watching other people have issues with other people in the program, watching all of us. I was thinking about this on the way here. One of the things I've had the most difficulty with in my recovery is my humanness, because I am so human. I mean, luckily, because of the steps of NA, I have been able to like deflate my ego and start living by spiritual principles. But I'm still human. I still have my own opinions. And Narcotics Anonymous taught me how to have my own opinions, because I started using when I was 12 years old, and I got clean when I was 21, and I only had an 8th grade education. So I hadn't learned a lot during that time. So NA taught me all that. And I have been in situations at an area meeting or at a GSR meeting, and I wasn't sure if I was going to share about this, where I have voted, because the person that had the most clean time was voting for this certain issue that was going to go back to area at the GSR meeting. And I'd raise my hand and I'd vote like they did. So, principles before personalities, you know, I've had to learn how to be honest that if I disagree with something that's being voted on, that it's okay for me to vote the way I feel. But I've had to learn that by working the steps. And specifically in this situation, learning how to be honest and learning that I don't have to be a people pleaser for people who like me, that I can vote the way that I need to, even if I'm the only person voting a certain way, which has happened to me. But in my heart, I knew that's the way I wanted to vote, so I did. I have different opinions. I saw someone spill coffee when I came in, and it was an accident. You know, the hug squad had hugged somebody and spilled coffee. And my immediate response to that is, go get some paper towels and clean it up. Because this is a convention, and I've been to a convention in Washington, D.C., 9 months clean, where we were putting cigarettes out, and not me specifically, on the floor of the carpet of the hotel in Washington, D.C. I watched it happen, and I watched the place get trashed, and we are never allowed back there again. So when I see those things, I have an opinion, and I didn't get up, and I didn't run over, and I didn't go to the bathroom, I didn't get paper towels. I didn't, though, because I've had to learn that that's not my responsibility, because I've been such a people pleaser in my recovery. But I thought that. And truthfully, I thought I wanted to share that when I came in here, because I really think it... Everyone probably in here has a different idea or opinion in some ways about what the 12th tradition means to them. Because we're all so different. Some of us probably see things somewhat similar, some of us don't. And that's okay, because we're all different. I had an issue. I have, right now in my recovery, my anonymity is broken on a regular basis. It's broken on a regular basis because I choose to keep the home group that I have while some of my clients attend that meeting. I'm a juvenile probation officer. Never thought that would ever happen, huh? No. And some of the young men that I actually have supervised and do supervise come into that meeting. And when I first was sitting in the meeting and they came into the meeting, I was like, oh no, this hasn't happened before. What am I going to do? And it was really stressful. So I was outside of the courtroom, and a young man came up to me and said, hey, I saw you at the NA meeting last night. State's attorney's over here. Public defender's over here. For the first time in my recovery, I was like, uh-oh. Like, I'm out here. It happened 3 times. It happened in the front office where I worked, and then it happened another time. And at that point, I made the first decision, which was to tell my boss. Because I did not want a parent calling up my boss and saying, you know, one of your probation officers is going into the Narcotics Anonymous meeting. So I went and I told my boss. And then I had to make the decision, was I going to leave that home group? And there's one of my home group members in here tonight. And today, whatever it is. And they didn't want me to leave, obviously. And I hadn't been at the home group very long at that point. And I made the decision to stay. Because this is attraction rather than promotion. And I've stayed, and now the one thing I have to do, and after talking to people, after talking to my sponsor, is when these young guys come in, I need to tell them. And it's the first time where I've had to put my clean time out there. Because it's important. For a different reason. My clean time is really important to me. And I only have today. But I have to tell these young men that I've been clean for a period of time so they don't think I'm coming in the rooms for the first time and I'm supervising them on probation. Not cool. So it was tough. There are times when I cannot share what I need to share in that meeting. And I don't. Because luckily, I still go to meetings, more than my home group. And I just share, I have to think about what I'm going to share. Now, I've never had to do this before, okay? Usually, I just put my stuff out there, and that's how I am. I really tell people what's going on with me. I'm not afraid to do that. Now I have to think, even if I want to share, which I don't really still like sharing, but I know I need to, I have to think what I'm going to share. I haven't been in many debates with people in Narcotics Anonymous where principles before personalities. That's just honest, okay? I've had a couple, and they were worked out very quickly. And I believe the only reason they were worked out quickly was because of working the steps and the traditions. The conflicts that I've been in because of putting personalities before principles has always been because of my ego. Has always been because I think I'm right and you're wrong. And what's happened to me over the 24 hours that I've been here is that because I've had to look at my humanness so much, is that I've become more tolerant. And out of probably all of the traditions, I mean all of the principles, tolerance is one of the greatest gifts. Not that I'm really putting a comparison on any of them, but it really is. To be able to tolerate the weirdness of us all. I mean, I'm weird. You know, I'm here at the convention with two really good friends, one that I've known 17 years, one I've known a long time and sponsor, and the three of us are different, even though two of them are sisters. We're very different. And we joke around and we crack on each other all the time. I mean, we love each other. I was sharing on the way here also that I believe there's a difference. And I joked around with them in the truck, and I said, I think there's a difference between going around spreading the rumor that Bette Midler's in meetings. She's not. That's a joke. Versus me asking if someone is okay and has been going to meetings. Because I've heard it said many times, I can't tell you that. I can't tell you if so-and-so is at the meeting. That's breaking their anonymity. And a lot of people may disagree with this, but I have picked up the telephone on numerous occasions when I hear someone's not going to meetings to find out what's going on. And sometimes they've relapsed, and sometimes they haven't, but sometimes they're in a really bad place and they need someone to pick up the telephone. So I believe there's a huge difference in the whole gossip stuff and genuine caring about each other. I don't even think they're on the same scale, actually. In my home group this past year, the police came. The police came to my home group because someone had been threatened. And it was freaky. Woman police officer comes into the meeting. It was really chaotic. Because of my job, I have to admit, I went up and talked to her and explained to her the situation that two people were not getting along with each other at all. One was threatening the other's life. Both have other issues besides addiction, like many of us, including myself. And I watched those two men who were threatening each other and having such a hard time with each other at one of their anniversaries just a few weeks ago. I watched them sitting this far to those chairs, close to each other. He shared, and the other guy shared, and that's what Narcotics Anonymous is all about. Despite one of them calling the police on the other and having a police officer in an NA meeting. You know, I mean, everybody was really upset, but it worked out, and the home group stayed together, and it was over. And I believe that's working the 12th tradition, absolutely. There's a lot of, I don't want to call it controversy, but there's a lot of stigma, that's a good word, about people that have other problems other than just addiction in Narcotics Anonymous. I'm not going to go into all them, let's just call them like mental health stuff, okay? And recently I've had to deal with my own depression. It's been really difficult. It's been really difficult to share it in an NA meeting because of what I've heard in here, what I've seen in here, and what I feel in here sometimes. Because there's been a stigma, and I believe it's all about personalities. It's all about personalities. It has nothing to do with principles. Because there are some of us who have to address other issues. And when I hear someone sharing from their gut that they have to take medication to be able to stay clean, to be able to work, to be able to function in their own life, I have no right to judge them because they're as clean as I am. And obviously because this has been a recent issue for me, it's been so difficult for me to share. It took me 3 weeks to share in groups, in NA, that I was dealing with depression and how I was dealing with it, that for those 3 weeks, I started feeling like using. Because I haven't went 3 weeks without sharing for 17 years. Now sometimes I'll go a week, whatever. But I don't go that long without sharing in an NA meeting, and I was going 3 weeks without sharing what was going on with me. And I was wondering why I'm driving home from work. And I'm thinking, do I need to stop at the grocery store? Maybe I'll stop at Lou and Joe's and have a drink. That was scary. I got together with my sponsor, and I haven't had any other thoughts because I'm sharing in meetings. I'm dealing with it the way that I need to. It's very hard to even bring that up in this meeting, obviously, because of that whole issue. I am not perfect. I have issues. My thoughts like the coffee being spilled, like other things that I don't believe are okay, and other people have different opinions. That's me. There are times when I need to step up and I need to confront issues. It's been hard, but I do that. For the most part, I believe if I continue to work the steps, if I continue to live the principles of the steps and the traditions. My sponsor in Arizona had me write about the traditions before I moved away from Arizona, and it was a great experience because we talked about them equally. We just talked about what they meant to us. And she asked me to write how they applied to my life, my personal life, which was really interesting. And it was interesting because when I go to work, I have to deal with other people outside of NA. And I would be lying if I told you that I don't sit and like talk about other coworkers. That would be a lie. Because I sit in offices when I see someone mistreating a teenager the way that I don't think they should be treated, and I say something. Have I said something to those people? Sometimes, depending on the situation. Do I feel guilty every time I probably open my mouth about someone else in a negative way? Yes. That's this working in my life. I didn't have that before. Although, I'll be honest, I was so stoned from the age of 12 to 21. I didn't pay a lot of attention to that. Truthfully, I didn't analyze like I do now. I didn't process like I do. No way. I'm going to close by just saying that I am so grateful to be clean today. I have a really nice house that I live in. I have a job that pays more than minimum wage. When I first got here, I had a job that paid minimum wage. I was just as grateful for that job, by the way. That was at McDonald's. Great job. Sometimes I want to go back there. I want to go back and I want to make that food because of, you know, I told you what I do. Pretty stressful. I'm going to go back. But despite all the wonderful things, material things I have, and they've been given to me, an awakening of the spirit, that's the greatest gift that I've been given in Narcotics Anonymous. And to tell you the truth, when I first got here, you know, I had just forgotten what the saying of the convention was this year. And then I saw it, and I was like, whoa. Because I have been through a lot in recovery. And I have had an awakening of the spirit, but I don't believe it's past tense. I believe that my spirit will continue to be awakened on different levels every single day that I stay clean, as long as I keep doing the same thing I did when I first walked into NA. I'll keep coming back. Thanks.
I'm still calling my addict, and I'm going to give you my next speaker, who is Jimmy. Jamie.
That's Jamie. I'm Jamie. I'm an addict. Thanks. I was asked actually 10 minutes before this to speak. I've never spoken at a convention before. I've never really spoken into a mic before. And I'm actually not really nervous. I do feel very amped. Today I can tell the difference between nervousness and amped. I have different words, different identifications for a lot of feelings. At one time, all I had was a feeling, it's something, run away. I was told to speak about a spiritual foundation, and a spiritual foundation is something that I have, and I know I have. So I feel good about speaking about it. And the reason I know I have a spiritual foundation is because I don't have all the answers. I think that knowing that puts me closer to God, the God of my understanding, than anything else, than any other fact. And it's not even a fact. It's a non-fact. My friend here was speaking of the clarity statement a moment ago. I actually voted against the clarity statement. I agree with the clarity statement, though, in principle. And I think it's funny, because I've listened to people read it and then introduce themselves as an aholic, I'll say. And I don't even think they realized what they did. I don't even think they realized what they were reading. They just read it. A spiritual awakening is all about being awake. And when we're not... very clean when we haven't been in recovery, when we haven't gotten recovery, we're not awake. And we're listening to that voice in our head. I mean, we all know it. It still happens to us all. And part of being spiritually awake to me is being aware of myself. And while being up in your head appears to be being aware of yourself, it's really not. You're like a million miles away thinking about, you know, your goals in life, you know, your job, your house, or whatever. And I'm not saying don't have goals. If I had written the clarity statement, I would have said, please don't come into NA and talk about your car, you know, your house, or who you think your God is. You know what I'm saying? The clarity of the NA message is all about keeping the focus on yourself when you're speaking and when you're carrying the message of Narcotics Anonymous. I'm getting a little bit of brain lock here for a second, but part of having a spiritually foundation to me in this fellowship is, I hear a lot of people say, you know, that they have trouble going to meetings and being basically with themselves with the way they were when they were using. And it's hard sometimes. I've helped newcomers to the detriment of myself, and it's backfired. But, you know, the newcomer is the most important person in any meeting, and coming to NA, being in the fellowship of NA, is all about being with addicts, still using addicts, newcomers, people are just coming in. And to me, a spiritual understanding of recovery means that I realize when I see these people, these newcomers coming in, not only are they just like me, and not only are we all the same, but we're not what we do, you know? We have the disease of addiction, but, you know, we're not really addicts, we're people with the disease of addiction, you know? I mean, the word God, G-O-D, is not God. God is something mysterious that's out there, but it's not the three letters, G-O-D, you know? So to me, the spiritual foundation that I have in my life today as a result of the steps of Narcotics Anonymous, having a sponsor and talking to him, is becoming aware of myself and becoming awake to who I really am. You know, I'm not what I do. I'm not my J-O-B is not me. My name is Jamie, but I'm not Jamie. I'm a person. You know, I'm a product of God standing here before a bunch of other products of God. And, you know, exactly like myself, you know. And as a result, I feel of my spiritual foundation from coming to Narcotics Anonymous and working the steps, I feel like it has given me a power greater than myself. I am powerless against the disease of addiction, but that doesn't mean I have no power. I have the power of recovery in my life, which is my spiritual foundation. You know, I sometimes think, you know, what if I was never an addict, you know? If I could have been, like, normal. But really, you know, like, what is normal? Nobody's normal. Everybody's just people, you know? Everybody has the disease of addiction, really. They didn't use drugs, you know? And back to the clarity statement for a moment. Like, I believe in Narcotics Anonymous. I got clean in Narcotics Anonymous. I don't believe in going to the other fellowship. I believe in the power of the other fellowship, okay? I believe that our fellowship is the rebellious stepchild of that fellowship. And I am a rebellious stepchild, you know what I mean? And I can identify that. I look around and I know you all can identify with that too, you know? That's why we're here. We're not there, you know? The name Narcotics Anonymous. You know, narcotics are a specific group of drugs. You know, sometimes I think we should have been just called Drugs Anonymous. But you know what? It's not up to me. And it's not a perfect world, you know. But God is perfect, life is perfect, and we all have God and life, you know. We were all brought together here by God and life. And that is a perfection that we can all have, you know. I want a better job, and I want a house someday, you know. I drive, okay, a Chevy truck that I bought at an auction, okay. And I love my truck, man. You know, I got, you know, all the assets that I own combined, you know, are less than a few monthly payments to some of these cars that some of these people drive up. And I'm totally fine with that. I live a simple life. At the same time, I try and complicate my life, you know. I want a better job. I want the new Lexus, you know, whatever, you know. But I mean, we want to double or triple my income, but you know what? I'm not obsessed with that. And honestly, my spiritual foundation in Narcotics Anonymous means just for today. It means today is what really matters. And you know what? The fact that I'm standing here at this microphone makes today worthwhile because, you know, I'm going to have to leave tomorrow. I got to fly out of town. And, you know, I was like, damn, I'm going to be all rushed. You know, I'm not going to be able to. This makes it all worthwhile to be able to commune with you people, you know, because, you know, I feel like I do have the power of recovery in my life, and you all have the power of recovery, and we've brought that all together, and when we all come together in this room, we multiply that, we like, amplify that, you know. It's like the, in the very first page, or one of the first pages of the Blue Book. And by the way, I don't go for the other books. I do like the whole Blue Book of Narcotics Anonymous. I keep it simple. The basic text of Narcotics Anonymous is my book. I don't go for the green and gold. I don't go for the workbook. Occasionally, a PI pamphlet is cool. But you know what I mean? I'm keeping it simple, you know? When I write my steps, you know, I don't want somebody to, like, fucking lay down what I got to write. I need to express myself, you know, with my sponsor, you know? That's a very personal relationship, and I don't need whoever wrote that book involved, you know? My sponsor actually has a copy of the original basic text before the first revision, like the spiral bound, you know, like for review copy. And I was checking that out. It's not even the same book. But you know what? It's metamorphosed into what we have today. And I have metamorphosed since I got clean, you know. And I'm keeping it simple. I'm sticking with that. But in one of the first pages, you know, it has a thing about the symbol. You know, how did that go again, Kevin? The broader the base, the wider the base. I forget, but what that means to me is we bring each other together and we build it up, man. We amplify on, you know, when we come together, what we already have from our previous, we've taken it just for today and expand it and just build it higher. And that's what I want to be about. That's what my spiritual foundation is about. And that's why I'm standing here. And I really can't think of much more to add to it than that. Because I do want to keep it simple. And I don't know how many minutes I went. I didn't want to even look. You know, and I came here totally unprepared. And I like it that way. I'm keeping it green. So thanks for letting me share.
Still call them an addict, and we still have a few more minutes left. Anybody want to share?
Name Lynn. Amen. Hi, everybody. I think Jan, I walked in late and I missed your lead. This is a really good topic. You know, I was just looking in the book, and in the meeting over there, the topic is the courage to change. But for me, when I look at this topic, I think about the courage to change too. And it has a lot to do with my foundation in my development as a recovering addict. And it all centers itself in my willingness to accept Len as well as to let other people be where they are. And that's difficult. That's difficult because I find that even most people, even myself, it's about me initially. When I want to do something, I'm thinking about being self-centered. So the focus in, for me in being spiritually grounded is to try to relax with myself and let other people be other people. And that's hard, especially when someone's cursing you out or telling you you're not doing something right or telling you, man, you better go talk to your sponsor. But I just have to step back and say, you know, I'm where I am. I might not be where somebody else wants me to be, but I can only progress as well as I can progress at the time. Working the steps is very important. Working with a sponsor is very important. Going to meetings on a regular basis is extremely important. And getting involved in service is extremely important. You talked about the newcomer. I agree. He talked about, you know, God, and he talked about spirituality, and sometimes there is some confusion. But I think that, for me, the way it works is an individual thing. You know, I was brought up a certain way, and I'm not saying that all those ways are correct in the eyes of other people, but they've worked well for me. They've helped me believe that it's okay to believe in a God of my understanding. And as a result, I become more comfortable accepting Lynn. And there's a spiritual foundation in that. To me, when I talk about spirituality, I talk about something that I feel, something that I feel comfortable doing. It's a tolerance to accept things that I don't necessarily believe in, but that's just the way that it is. It's just the way that it is. And once I can do that, then I tell myself, you know, it's okay. I can smile about something. I can feel other people's pain sometimes, and I can't do anything about it other than, you know, be there for them, answer a question, take them to a meeting, or help somebody out. But it's difficult. I find it's difficult in this program to sometimes get a spiritual base, because you go to some meetings and you go to some cities and you see people showing up on a regular basis, and these people have lots and lots of time in Narcotics Anonymous, and they're trying to teach you how to be a recovering addict, when in fact, it's all fluff. It's all fluff. And you find two or three people that are really serious about developing a spiritual foundation, but if they bump into a person who has a lot of clean time, and this person is a guru, you can almost ruin someone's spiritual development. So it's important that I think that we're honest with ourselves and not perpetrate a fraud on your recovery. It's important, extremely important, to be honest with this program and be honest with yourself. And that's how it develops for me. I don't always like it, because it means that I got to tell the truth sometimes when I really don't want to tell the truth. And that's hard. That's hard. Spiritual development for me is paying my bills when I know they're due. Spiritual development for me is getting up in the morning when I don't want to get up and go to work. And get there on time. And when I get to interact with people in a way that I'm not a jerk. Because if somebody walks up to me and says, Lynn, you know, there's something wrong with your expression, and I feel good. You know, I feel really good. And I said, man, you got to fix your act. I guarantee you that there's something about me that person likes that's influencing their behavior, their thoughts about me. And I need to look at that. I need to look at it. It's theirs. It's them. It's how that I. Somebody told me that I am how you perceive me to be. I am how you perceive me to be. If I'm coming on too strong, you tell me to get back, then that's a message to me. I got to sit back and put that in my spiritual development folder and know that if I'm going to deal with you one way, then I got to change this. But I might have to come over here and deal with him, and I may have to be another way. And that's what it is. It's trying to function in a way that I understand what other people are going through. I call it empathetic development. In other words, I understand how you feel about certain things, but I may not have any control over it, but I do have control over myself. And to me, that's basically what it is. You know, it's a willingness to accept, feel good or feel bad about where I am in my recovery. If it's not where it is, step back and do something about it. And take suggestions from people when I don't want to take them. Somebody suggested that I do some certain things next year, and I didn't like it when I heard it, but I think it's a good idea. And I'm up here in my head being an addict. I'm trying to get around that suggestion when I know that it's a suggestion that's going to help me. But being an addict, it's just like using a drug. I still want to continue to do it because that's what I want to do. And I have to step back and grow in other areas of my life. So that's where I am in terms of my spiritual development. You know, for me, religiously, I was brought up in a church, and that's where I am. But certainly, I don't think that Narcotics Anonymous is about church. You know, it's about a lot of things. It's about change. Thanks.
Anybody else? We got a few more minutes.
My name is Kevin. I'm an addict. And I just wanted the bugs to stop crawling on my back. I wanted to be able to have my hands stop shaking. I wanted my eyes to become white once again. I wanted to sleep through the night and dream. I wanted the lady to stop taking my pulse. They had gave me a gown, and my butt would hang out in the back of the gown. And they gave me some shoes with a little smiling faces on the shoes. And I wanted to get some new shoes. I wanted to dream again. I just wanted that simple stuff to happen to me. And the guy said, well, like, check it out. I know a place that's handing out miracles. And you go to this spot, they're handing out miracles. And all that stuff that you desire will happen to you. And it was this little room where they gave, like, coffee. And they gave you a hug at the door. And they read some stuff. And I felt like they was following me around for my whole life. And it was set. That's where it was set for me. And so the guy said, you can take two routes. You can take the spiritual route or you can take the financial route. He said, if you take the financial route, you're going to get a lot of that money, but you're going to have to come back and take the spiritual route. And he said, if you take the spiritual route, you'll get all the finances. And the finances that I wanted was just the bugs. I wanted to dream. I wanted to hear my mother say baby once again. I wanted some clothes from the Salvation Army instead of the gown and the slippers. And the foundation was set right here in Narcotics Anonymous. So like this is like the spot, like y'all got it going on here.
Yeah.
Like y'all got it going on. You're looking good, you're smelling good.
Yeah.
Got money in your pocket. What time is it? What time is it?
You got time.
2:21 on a Friday and you got money in your pocket. My name is Kevin, I'm an addict.